Larry Monkey. And you can find me on Twitter, on X, at FF Larry Monkey. I got a different kind of co-host with me tonight, it seems. I decided to jump in a rocket ship and head off into outer space. And who did I bump into as soon as I left the stratosphere? FF Spaceman, Dave Wright. What's up, my man? Welcome to the show.
Dude, it's been forever, but I will say I'm going to do my best Justin impersonation. I'm wearing a bathrobe, so I'm like the lounging experience just to kind of do the whole Justin vibes. Now, I don't have his runner's body, but we'll get there.
Okay. That's okay. That's all right. Yeah, we'll... You know, I get a nice view of the beams and the ceiling there. Very cool.
Almost done with the basement. We'll get there.
All right. Okay. So it's not like a torture chamber down there. You don't have any, there's nobody like tied up and gagballed like off to the side. You have to get up and torture in the middle of the show at all.
Look, what happens in someone's home is sacred. So I'm not going to say anything.
Okay. I mean, you already planted the seed with the whole like, hear your voice on my mic. Like, you know, it's going to hear like different voices in the background there.
Flashbacks.
Nice, man. So, hey, you know what? No, me and Justin did record last night. Dave was supposed to come on, the spaceman, and I messed things up. Not a big shocker there. So I was just happened to be free tonight. And the spaceman was free. So it was in the stars. It was written in the stars that we were going to record a show and Justin was busy. So I was like, you know what? Let's call this a guest host. Guest host, the spaceman is in the hizzy.
Big shoes to fill, but we'll do our best here.
And you know what? We would normally do like a kind of one of these special type of shows and just maybe leave it with the patrons on our Patreon. But hey, this is a free show tonight, broadcasting live on Twitter and YouTube. That too. Join the Patreon, check it out. Right now we're in a rocket ship, and we're gonna see where we go.
But I thought this was for the patrons. I'm gonna have to tighten up my collar a little bit. I thought I was starting a little chest hair for the patrons, but now I'm gonna have to just get a little more formal here.
If anyone knows the FF Spaceman, he's an encyclopedia of information, but one of the other things that this guy is a big part of is the Scott Fishbowl. Geez, I mean, can you offer us any insight right now as to, I mean, have you guys gotten the ball rolling? I did get the John Bosch email, start kicking off the eliminators. And if anyone is interested in what those are, that's for charity. Everything's for Fantasy Cares. And you link up with they call it a celebrity, which is basically somebody that a content creator or someone that hosts the a best ball. Every team gets the lowest score gets eliminated every week. And it's amazing. And that kind of kicks off the Scott Fishbowl. But I've done a lot of talking right now. So, hey, man, what can you tell us about the Fishbowl this year?
So, well, the FCE eliminators, Fantasy Cares eliminators, that raises thousands and thousands of dollars just because you get to sign up and make a donation to Fantasy Cares, and you get to play in a best ball eliminator with your favorite fantasy personalities. And you get to be in a private chat with them on Twitter usually, and you get to talk. You know, that's kind of forms a little bit of a community, and that's just how it goes. Sometimes, you know, Heath Cummings has 5, 6, 7 eliminators. You know, Ryan McDowell, everyone like Scott. I think Scott Fish has his own eliminators, so that's kind of how that works. And I know Rookie Fever, our buddy Swags and Finero, they have their own, a couple of different eliminators. And basically you get to play some fantasy, you know, easy draft, some wonky rules, and you get to money goes right to Fantasy Cares. And that all that money goes for Toys for Tots. And, you know, we're doing a couple of different, and every year there's always a couple different charities too. Like I think a Down Syndrome charity this year, a Women in Sports charity this year as well. And just Fantasy Cares is really important to me. It really helped me out during a tough time during COVID. Just gave me something to do. I was trying to raise some sponsorships for the Scott Fishbowl Podathon, and it's become really personal to me. And so, yeah, if you're looking at the Podathon, I think it's going to be a 36 to 48 hour show this year.
Whoa, yeah, baby.
Raising money, you know, 40 all live, all on YouTube and other different platforms of all the biggest names in the industry, Matthew Berry, Liz Loza, everybody that you can think of that's in fantasy will be appearing on this podcast, all for charity. And it goes to Toys for Tots during the holidays for kids who don't have enough toys. So If you like, one way you can you don't have money to donate, you can always donate your time, asking, hey, how can I help out Fantasy Cares? Or how, you know, or what you can do is, hey, you don't have any money to donate. That's totally fine. Go to your league and get and say, hey, the commissioner, I need a vote ASAP about making one buy-in go towards a charity of the winner's choice. That's all you got to do. And that really I think it really changes the dynasty league. One buy-in goes towards the winner's choice of a charity. And I think it makes add a little bit more juice, and they can share it with the league after they win. And I think it's just adds another layer. And I think that's what, you know, Fantasy Cares is all about. And they're having awesome giveaways, awesome contests. Bob Gilchrist over there, Russ Fisher, John Bosch, the Avi makers. You know, if you want your part of the Scott Fishbowl, you can get, you know, a customized Avi. All that money goes towards Fantasy Cares. Unbelievable. And you'll see it during the holidays. People get to go and they buy toys in their local communities. I got to do that for the first time this year. I got to invite some close friends. It really was impactful to just buy some kids, you know, toys for kids who would never have those toys. So lots of fun. There was my little rant about Fantasy Cares. Like Avi makers will do your Twitter, like what's it called? The background of your Twitter profile. So not only your Avi, but your background.
Right. The banner. Sure.
The banner. Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool stuff. I mean, and you know what? I should say one of the biggest parts of the Scott Fishbowl is one of the biggest tournaments in the world. Fantasy tournaments is a redraft tournament. People who don't know about it, I feel like a lot of people who are listening do know about it, but there's a ton of live events this year. There's one in Lithuania, England, all over the world. It's gone international. I have a buddy who I've known for years over in Lithuania, and he has all of his Lithuanian friends. And there's a Scott Fishbowl draft in Lithuania this year. All kinds of great international and all over the United States. So not only is it bringing people together for in leagues, but also like live events and charities at those events, tons of money being raised at those as well. So it's really cool feature that Scott has added to it this year over the last couple of years.
Yeah, man. Get in the fishbowl. And you know what? If you're interested in, if you're a fantasy football person, get in the Scott Fishbowl, and you can get in if you try. Anyone that tries will get in. If you don't try, you might not get in. But if you try, you'll definitely get in.
Hey, a little hint. You don't get in, but you go to a live draft, even though you're not in it. You participate in the charity. I bet next year you're going to have a lot better chance of getting in. And that's you get to hang out with some of the biggest fantasy personalities at the same time. So easy way to have some fun and support a great cause.
There are so many giveaways. I mean, hopefully we'll have a couple. I mean, we normally give away a couple of spots every year. So hopefully that continues. And I talked to the right person this year, but I had a terrible year last year, so hopefully things pick up this year. I think there'll be some rookies impacting the Scott Fishbowl this year. What do you think, man? There's some 2024 incoming rookies maybe playing a pivotal role in the outcome of the Scott Fishbowl. 14, is it?
Yeah, Achan and CJ Stroud carried me to the I think it was either quarterfinals or semifinals last year.
Wow.
CJ Stroud, I got him late. I got Mahomes at 103, and then I got CJ Stroud late,
like Stroud,
around Stroud where Mac you. Jones went.
He screwed you at the end of the season, though, Stroud.
I mean, I was already screwed anyway. So, I mean, but like Chubb went down early for me. But no, I mean, terrible. I mean, they'll carry you. Those rookies, if they hit, especially undervalued rookies, like you're going to have your big, you know, I guarantee Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be valued. Malik Nabers is going to be valued. But the undervalued rookies in valuable spots will carry teams.
Now, you think that there is going to be how many wide receivers in the NFL draft, which is 1 week away, ladies and gentlemen, 1 week away. How many? What over under 6.5? What you got?
First round
wide receivers
under
6.5. Okay.
Yeah. I think. First off, I haven't done a ton on these rookies, but I mean, there's so many. I think what people don't understand is how many other great players there are in this draft besides just the skill position players. We have some, you know, we have a lot of quarterbacks. There's going to be, I know the running backs isn't valuable, but you're going to have the tight end go high. You're going to have, and there's just a ton of O linemen this year. Some defensive linemen are impressive. I think the corners are deep this year, but I could be talking out of my ass now, but I just think people forget just how like other value positions, not that wide receiver isn't valuable, but I just think over six and a half. That's a ton.
Well, here's the thing. Here's my take on this. The wide receivers are commanding some serious money. So it's almost like you need to draft the rookies just like you draft a quarter, but you like the quarterback money. Now we got wide receiver money now, you know, because what's one of these? What's Jamar Chase? Has he signed his next deal yet?
No, he hasn't. I mean, T. Higgins hasn't even signed his deal yet.
Right.
I agree that the value of the wide receivers is becoming astronomical, except you can talk about it's tough to get wide receivers in free agency. It's even harder to get offensive linemen. It's even harder to get an impact pass rusher or impact corner. Like the wide receiver money is going up, but all those other impact positions are going up as well. But you know, the real sweet spot is that early second round for those wide receivers. They fall through the first round a little bit. And I know right. That was always the thing with quarterbacks. You know, you try to sneak into the end of the first round to get a quarterback here, but the early second round for those wide receivers, that's where some real values can be had too. You lose that extra year, of course, for the rookie option. But I mean, early second round wide receivers are still a great value.
So you're thinking under. That's amazing. Yeah, that's it. That's very interesting. Well, I mean, that's the over under is 6.5. That's like the Vegas line for the wide receivers. If the number's that high, you got to go over. Just my personal gambling beliefs, you know, and that would be amazing because I'm rooting for that. Obviously, we all are. That first round draft capital. So that's interesting. So what is your over under on the QBs?
I think the over under is. I think it's going to be.
It's 4.5 is the line.
I'll go under again.
Ooh.
I just don't.
There's four guys.
I just don't believe it. I just don't believe in the older QBs that don't have the rushing upside. That's.
And you love the defense that's in the that's in the early part of the draft.
Yep. And I mean, to be honest, I haven't done a ton on this was the first year I haven't watched a combine since I was like 8 years old.
It's a lot of hours, man. It's a lot of time. And there's daytime stuff, you know?
So I got a new job. So that's like, I'm devoting all, like strange careers, got a new job. So, driving a lot of time towards that. But that being said, I mean, I'm still pretty keyed in here. I just think, fantasy players, when you're so zeroed into these skill position players that you forget about just the bigger picture that these NFL teams have to consider. So that's why I'll just always go with the under. It's not as fun. The over is always more fun to bet.
Well, that too. That's also important. But yeah, that's my move. But under on the QBs, blah. So clearly also, not a running back.
My wife doesn't let me gamble because I suck at it. So take that with for a grain of salt. So,
I mean, I'm famous for picking losers as well. So what are you thinking about when it comes to rookie drafts? There's going to be a first round running back in rookie drafts.
Sure. I still don't think Dallas takes a first round running back. I think Dallas has gotten a little bit smarter.
Well, I mean,
hard to say that.
First RB is probably coming off the board in round three. You expect, or at the very best end of round two, but most likely round three is when you're going to start seeing running backs come off the board. I don't know where Dallas picks. Maybe they're the ones to take a late second rounder because obviously there's an obvious need at the position. So everyone's assuming, but the caliber of running backs that are out there. I don't know. I mean, we had Matt Hicks on recently and he was a big Braylon Allen fan.
I am a sucker for Braylon Allen as well. First off, Matt Hicks really knows his stuff. He watches and he really knows his stuff. So hats off to Matt Hicks, who also has helped a lot over at the Scott Fish Bowl, I think over the years. But I will say that I think Braylon Allen probably falls in around three or four for me. I think the problem is that I think he can catch the ball okay. I love that sound. Way to go, Larry. Keep it. flashbacks to Larry on the Potathon pounding Guinness at 7 a.m. after, a night, like a very late night. So
that was a night. All right. That was the 40th birthday party.
Oh, damn. I love it. But ultimately, I think my biggest takeaway from the running backs is basically the only position I've done a ton of work on, not even any work on, I should say, is that one. I think Bucky, the running back Bucky, whatever, from Oregon, I think he's going undervalued because spreadsheet warriors are clicking their little spreadsheets And they're like, well, you know, this threshold, that doesn't matter. This threshold, that doesn't matter. And they're forgetting about what really matters. So I think he's being incredibly undervalued because of his size. And then I also think that the Texas RB, I think it was a Jonathan, Nate, like I said, I'm not really prepared on these rookies, but the Texas running back, I think his injury is baked in. So there's a little, like, well, as
running backs, you mean?
What's that?
No, Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, Jonathan Brooks. So while running backs, usually what people like drafting running backs in rookie drafts is because there's a huge ROI if they hit. They get the volume early and they hit, they get one. They actually matter for scoring fantasy points. It's not just his perceived value, which is a lot of rookies and a lot of draft picks. So there's actually getting real fantasy points scored. So that's one benefit of rookie running backs. And two, what I like about him in particular is because with that injury, you've got some safety and some insulated cost in that pick where people are going to make excuses for him, his value, even if he doesn't, because of that, the seriousness of the injury, I think it was an Achilles. That is kind of baked into his price. So that's a little bit, quote unquote, I don't believe in safety as far as draft picks, but quote unquote, I think the perceived value and the narrative surrounding him will make him a little safe. So I think if you can get him at the, I'm hoping he goes mid second. I think he's probably gonna go late first, early second in most rookie drafts. But, I think if you can get that and he's some insulated value for people who are risk averse.
Yeah. Just looking at some Dynasty Trade Calculator and DLF ADP. Yeah, he's rounding out with the 14th overall pick in both.
Love him in the mid second. I'll take him. I think he's good enough where I think he would have been a late or a mid to late. If he wasn't injured, he'd be a mid to late first round pick.
Right.
I mean, because
the caveat is you just got to wait for him.
Yeah. And two, like, I think, again, the spreadsheet warriors are not taking into account that early on, Texas had a little bit of a committee going on. But once he took that backfield over in week two or week three, he was getting over 20 touches per game and was catching the ball through the air at a significant clip. So while I guess his size is the only real draw, besides the injury, his size isn't maybe as what you desire for a running back, your prototypical running back we've been talking about the last 7-8 years in Dynasty. That being said, he really would be going off. He'd be so much more valuable without that injury because he can do it all, except maybe he's not the elite touchdown scorer like a McCaffrey or some of those, you know, a Brees or whatever. So, but he can catch the ball. He can make people miss, and he doesn't have to be taken off the field on third down. And I think if he really hits, he's healthy. The injury doesn't hold him back. I think he's going to be actually help dynasty squads.
Yeah.
What are your running back thoughts here?
You know what? No one has anything good to say about the running backs. So I'm really just concentrating on the wide receivers, but I'm obviously with my late round picks, I'm excited to get the RB1 off the board, but we've been talking the last few weeks about rookies and stuff. And it's all about like whoever goes to Dallas is going to be, he's going to be your first round running back, right? Whether it's Braylon Allen or everyone's kind of thinking that. I don't know if they have the patience to draft a Brooks, but whoever they take is going to be in your rookie first round. I mean, easily we were talking about maybe 109, 108 even. And if someone wants to reach, they might sort of reach at 108 for a starting running back on a team that scores points, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I think one thing that makes me hesitant, everyone talks about Dallas as a landing spot that they desire for running backs.
Oh my God.
I think some of that is some carryover from the Dallas of the old, like, hey, that, you know, the DeMarco Murray years where, you know, put anyone behind those line. I think that is a real narrative that is still stuck with a lot of dynasty managers. Like, how valuable was the running back position in Dallas last year?
Yeah, I mean, Pollard, that's why Pollard's not there anymore.
Yeah, I know people are really focused on skill when it comes to wide receiver drafting, but I still think skill dictates a lot more volume than people imagine when it comes to running back. Yeah, volume is king for running backs, rinse and repeat for eternity, but skill does dictate some amount of volume. And I'm not sure if there's a running back in this class that's going to come in there and just on skill alone dictate the kind of volume that's going to give you a top five running back, which is what we've seen. That's how I've drafted teams for years. Build through the wide receivers, like, and then in my rookie drafts, pound the running back position.
Yeah, man, you like pounding that running back position.
Oh, well, see, I'm getting a little hot and bothered here. I'm getting a little hot.
There's no, you know, as long as there's no one named Moore in the in this rookie class.
Tease me, Heartbreak City. No, but I mean, I got.
Where are you on the Moores now? What are your new Moore rankings?
Oh, God, I still think. It's exciting that DJ Moore is going to have probably the best quarterback of his career. That's exciting.
You can't complain about the last season he had.
No, I can't complain. But I mean, I've always thought DJ Moore is, since he came into like in those rookie debates between Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore, I was always a Moore believer. And some of the, you know, that didn't play out great to start with. But man, I just, DJ Moore can do it all. Make people miss, make tough catches, stretch the field, take it underneath and make a big play. There's nothing that I don't think DJ Moore can do. And if a quarterback can just, you know, and maybe he has a little bit more help at wide, if they draft another wide receiver too, that's a big talk of them picking up a wide receiver in the first round again. That's exciting for DJ Moore. That being said,
it almost turns into a lot of mouths to feed, right? You know, we got Keenan Allen there, and
then flashback. Well,
I mean, it'll be Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Obviously, the rookie they'll probably work him in, but yeah, DJ Moore is the man last year, and why can't he be now? Why can't he be consistent like that? I threw him into a deal to get Jordan Love, and the more we're talking about DJ Moore right now, I'm just like, dang it. I overpaid for Jordan Love. This guy wouldn't budge. I gave him Tua and DJ Moore for Jordan Love.
When was this deal made?
Oh, like a month ago, I guess. 2 months ago.
Goodness.
I mean, Jordan Love's. I had no pieces of Jordan Love, and I needed one piece. Sometimes you just got to overpay. This guy wanted no part of trading Jordan Love, so I had to overpay for him. Sometimes you have to overpay. I mean, if you want to stand your ground and not get your guy, that's okay, then that's what you want to do. That's okay. But I was like, I want Jordan Love. This is the only league where I feel like I have a legit shot to get him on my team. And I have Lamar Jackson and Jordan Love now.
Look, I will say I have a bunch of hot takes prepared for the show. One of my hot takes was, don't be afraid to lose a deal to get what you need done. I think that value that people, and I think, and that's not like, I don't think that's a screeching hot take here, but that was like one of my ones. I didn't have like, that's just in the hopper in case we ran out of time. Like we were really scratching for stuff, but one is, don't be afraid to lose a deal. Get your guy if you need it, especially if it's a foundational piece. And you, like, I'm not sure if I'm there with you on Jordan Love, but that being said, if you want that kind of piece to build your team around, you don't have any, you want a piece. I also am stuck in the past where I felt like DJ Moore has been 22, 23 for the last 10 years. He's not 22 or 23 anymore. So he is more of a vet compared to that young ascending wide receiver that he's been like. Wouldn't you agree? Like DJ Moore felt like he's been young forever.
I feel like that is exactly right. I mean, it feels like yesterday where Cam Newton was teasing him on the sideline.
that Steve Smith clip of him talking trash to DJ Moore. So I mean, that's what I'll say is that I don't be afraid to lose your, and don't ever lose a freaking deal over a freaking two-thirds or a third round pick. Like, cut the front door. You make that deal, what you're going to do is you're just developing that trade relationship for the future. This is basic psychology 101 when it comes to trade negotiations.
The dude,
someone's going to come back to you. All right. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna throw another one at you. My biggest one is that. So when you say consensus advice for years, for like the last 7 years of dynasty content has been hold on to your rookie picks until you get close to the rookie draft because their value increases. Don't you think that's been the consensus forever?
Yeah.
And my thing is, I would say, I think that was more advice that advice was more useful 5 years ago, but I think that advice hurts dynasty leagues because it limits trades people are like holding on their picks. I'm going to get more value in a couple weeks when we're close to the draft. No, you're playing with good managers and a good league that's active. There, people aren't stupid. They're going to value the pick as they're going to value. Yeah, you might not get the huge overpay, like guaranteed overpay, maybe in some certain state when a player needs to have that player when they're on the clock. But 8 times out of 10, you're going to miss an opportunity to make your team better if you're holding those rings. So I think that advice about holding on to your rookie picks longer, I think hurts dynasty leagues. It hurts teams where I think you should be more flexible in trading picks, because more picks beget more more trades, beget more trades and more opportunity to get value. And I think that is lost when you're like, I need to win the trade now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like a vortex. It's like a black hole that opens and closes, you know, it's like a wormhole, you know, since we're in outer space right now, let's just throw some terms around.
Dune 2, baby.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like a wormhole where sometimes you want to trade your picks and sometimes you want to let them marinate and let them gain value. Right. Oh man. Sometimes the picks are at their most valuable at right leading up to the draft on the clock even, but sometimes in February you can get your hand, you know, sometimes somebody wants to load up on picks. You never know. I'm always looking for picks right now.
Or when it's, you know, when people are thinking 7 or 8 freaking first round wide receivers are going to go, and then that doesn't happen. And all of a sudden that late first round draft value that you had in your rookie picks isn't as valuable as you thought it was. Or before the combine, when a guy doesn't run the 40 that they wanted and that value is dinged.
Or like Brian Johnson or somebody. Like somebody goes to the Colts, you know, that like it's just gonna be buried on the depth chart with Alec Pierce and Josh Downs, you know, and Pittman and A-Rich running all over the place instead of throwing it, you know. But
I just think going against consensus in the smart pick your spots can be smart and advantageous. And I think just going against, you know, and I think that's just a little tweak that, hey, that advice was great when people were just throwing around picks and weren't valuing them correctly, but the value of rookie picks is a lot more. So people, dynasty was really young 6-7 years ago. I mean, it's been around for a long time, but the majority of dynasty players, I think, are a lot more veteran dynasty players than they were 7 or 8 years ago. And I think they're just a lot more savvy. So that advice doesn't work against the more skilled veteran players.
Right. There's a lot more people that have 10 years experience now. You know, that's where there is a large chunk of folks that are getting their 10-year anniversary this year. Like 2014 was a huge, or what was it? 2014? Yeah. 2014 was a huge
those rookie wide receivers. Yeah.
That was like the Mike Evans, Odell Beckham draft, you know? But yeah, that was, so everyone, yeah. So now there's a lot of folks that are all in, baby. I don't know. Talking about picks still, I have Justin Jefferson that I'm looking to move just because I want a couple of picks. I feel like, I mean, what, how many, where do you think you can get the 103 and the 106 for Justin Jefferson?
I think you can. Yeah, sure. I think you definitely can.
I'd be happy to make that deal. Oh man, it's a huge deal, honestly. But you could potentially get two quarterbacks. You're filling two holes with potential studs, whereas Justin Jefferson is obviously the established stud. But it's the roll of the dice. It's the roulette of hitting on the guy. You know,
you just want to feel something. You want to feel something.
You don't want to get like the Dobbins Acres and, you know, CEH draft, you know. But still,
or like the QBs, like the Trey Lance, Justin Field. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, even Lawrence is still, we're waiting on him.
I think the days of just getting three draft picks for those studs, I think those are kind of done. I think people, like you said, we're kind of mentioning, is that value trade picks, these first round picks are just valued so much more and more appropriately that I think the days of getting three picks for Justin Jefferson, at least, especially three current picks, maybe you can get a future involved, like a 2026 involved on top of that, but.
I'm an all picks are valuable guy, right?
Yeah,
Troy, I mean, in the chat. Hi. Hey, Troy. Hi.
That guy.
Troy's a great. Troy's a good friend. Obviously, I mean, he's in the patron, and obviously we have a super cool chat, which has a nice. It's a nice group of people, and there's a lot of fun banter that goes on.
I can only imagine what the banter is on the Hot Sauce Patreon.
Oh man, if you only saw what was going on today.
Like, yeah, like where the hell was that spaceman dude yesterday for the show? Like freaking little, like that kind of
it wasn't even that. It was more like, why does this guest want $500 to come on the Hot Sauce Pod? That's what the banter was today. And I post screenshots. So join the Patreon and you get all the inside info of what goes on behind the scenes for the Hot Sauce Pod. Yeah, we had a guest that wanted $500 to come on, and we had some nice dialogue about it throughout the day. But yeah, man, good times.
Imagine how many Dynasty Trade Calculator subscriptions you could get with that $500.
You're right, exactly. Talk about charity, right?
Yeah.
Give me a break. Cut me some slack. Right, so join the Patreon, and I'll tell you who the hell we're talking about right now. Uh-oh. You're right. The quarterback of the Detroit Lions, Hendon Hooker.
Oh, my gosh.
Troy was thinking about, what are you getting for Hendon Hooker these days? Let's talk about that.
Probably getting I think you can probably get easily get him on your team for a fourth.
Yeah. You know what? That's exactly what happened during the chat conversation about this topic. It was like we were like debating, what was it, Troy? Like the 401? what was it, early fourth? I don't know. Yeah, Hendon Hooker. Jeez. And you know what? Steady Eddie asked me. I know another great friend of mine and another patron asked me about Hendon Hooker a while ago, I believe. And I was just like, I don't know. I mean, is he already like 30 at this point?
That's true. And then the injury, he had the big injury. But thing about Hooker is I think he's a little volatile too. Like you get him in camp situation or in preseason game situation, and he shines, you could turn a profit without him even playing NFL snaps. Like you could get, I mean, it also could turn to dust too, as far as value is concerned. But you know, if he shines in camp, gets some buzz around him. I know Goff is the man right now in Detroit, but there is some easy, you could turn an easy profit if you get him for a fourth right now and some buzz happens in camp or in preseason, and you could turn that into a late second, no problem.
Listen, I mean, he's ready to start games right now. And I don't mean that in the sense that he's an NFL starter. I just mean in the sense that if Goff goes down, he's healthy enough to come in. And he's had a year to just sit and understand things. Who knows? He might be somebody that, you know, one of those high-end backup guys that could eventually get an early third for.
uber efficient passer in college. Those are the exciting. If you can get those for cheap, look at how many quarterbacks went down last season. How valuable certain backup quarterbacks were. Now it's a crapshoot to see which quarterback's going to go down. They don't have to be a rushing quarterback to get the big time injury. Look at Kirk Cousins. So it's not just the rushing profile quarterbacks, the Kyler Murrays who can get injured. All types of quarterbacks can get injured. And I think we had record numbers the last couple of years about how many games backups have been starting. Hendon Hooker sees some real snaps.
Oh, the he's way gonna he
can play with those weapons.
Yeah. I mean, I think we had about 66 starting quarterbacks last season. So just, I mean, even if there's 50, that's a lot. So, I mean, all quarterbacks are valuable at some point. If you're in crunch time, if there's, you know, week 14, if quarterback goes down, you're getting a third for whoever's starting, you know,
a second. I think you're getting a second. You're getting a second, yeah, because he's young. Yeah. I don't think have they re-upped Goff yet?
Mm-mm. They've been talking about it.
There's a lot of potential. Now I'm sure they're going to, because especially once they get camp in, you know, whatever. But you know, this is the offseason. We're allowed to dream, and that's what it is. We're dreaming right now. What happens if Hendon Hooker with those weapons gets a chance to see the field?
Right.
What kind of what real life value that can have on your fantasy team? Why not? Why not? Because no one's talking about him.
So my wife, I heard her upstairs earlier. And I heard like her, I'm in the basement and I heard her like come downstairs and I just like hid all my, I put one beer that way. I have like three, I have three beers here and I'm just like hiding everything, all the evidence and everything. She never came down. And now I need a beer and I'm just like, where the hell did I put that beer? Anyway, and I just grabbed it. That's what I was doing. If I was all looked all scatterbrained just now, that's what I was up to.
I'm used to that. I'm good. All right. So I'd give my, that first take a C for hot, especially hot sauce level. That's a C. That's not even mild. That's just probably disappointing here.
What was the take again?
It was the consensus advice about waiting for rookie trade picks to increase in value is bad. Don't do it. Go against the grain, get some deals going, put some pressure on the other people in your league. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, because the guy that you're supposed to take at 1-8, or the guy you're supposed to take at 1-6. Anyway, half the quarterbacks are shit every single year, and now we're always supposed to take quarterbacks in the top five in a super flex. You know, it's interesting. Dynasty Nerds has their rankings up, and their consensus. It's only Garrett Price and Dotson and Rich that have their rankings in their super flex rankings. They have one quarterback or two quarterbacks in the top five, you know, that's interesting. And they have the next quarterback, the QB3 is Drake May at 8.
Wow.
JJ McCarthy at 14. Wow. So they're really shitting on the quarterbacks. I don't know their understanding. I don't know why they have the ranks this way, but for me to justify this, I didn't purposely go out of my way to draft quarterbacks last year, only because I was so afraid. Because that whole like Malik Willis year, where just everyone was shit and drafted late, and you didn't know. And then the quarterbacks have just been shit for so long. They're such a crapshoot. Why am I going to waste a rookie pick, a valuable top five rookie pick, on a 50-50 shot when these wide receivers are supposed to be like AJ Green, Julio Jones level, you know?
I mean, I understand this, but you know, like Bryce Young, people think he's dust now. I think that's like, he's hard to trade right now if you have him on your squad. So I get the fear. One of my favorite things to do right now was, because kind of reflecting on that, I have a couple of leagues, I'd say two or three leagues, where I have two top five picks. And I need a quarterback in both situations. What I'm doing at 103, though, is I'm taking Malik Nabers at 103 and taking whatever quarterback falls to me, because I don't want to make the decision. I like both May and Daniels.
Yep.
I like the idea of just getting Nabers and then letting someone else make the decision for me.
I won a league, an orphan that I picked up. I won the league in year, I guess, maybe three since I took over the orphan. Because I took Gibbs instead of like Bryce Young.
Gibbs was my 102 last year.
That's right. You were high on him. Yeah.
I was silly at points that people were like, why are you taking him over? Like, I had him over Anthony Richardson. I know Anthony Richardson is incredibly high value right now or whatever, but Gibbs is a top three dynasty back right now. And there aren't many top backs that actually score points right now in fantasy. So yeah.
I took Gibbs. I shook up the whole draft. There was a big EK Baller, you're familiar with
EK? You know, I kicked his ass in the Scott Fish Bowl this year, but there you go.
Yeah, yes. Well, I kicked his ass in the Hogs League, where I sniped him because he had like the next two picks and he did not need a quarterback. And I took Gibbs and he just went berserk in the chat. And I like ruined his day.
The best part for me about Dennis. People talk about winning, like there is not the banter and the trash talk when you can do that in a rookie draft is. That's worth the price of my buy-in for the year. Mm-hmm. If I can get that kind of reaction from somebody,
right?
Worth my buy-in.
Yeah, it was classic. And EK has been on the show. He's a good buddy of the show.
Awesome. He's a great guy. First off, great guy. And it's very sharp too.
Yeah. And he is going to be he's coming on our draft show. Justin and I are getting together once again for the Dynasty Hot Soft draft party. Man, do we have a great time. It's like a 4-hour show. Everyone's invited to come on, Spaceman. If you're passing through, the atmosphere and you see our lights on, stop in. Everyone's welcome. They come and go. Got a great list of guys this year. We got the Madman and FF Blitz coming on. We have Johnny Lobb and Matt Donnelly coming on. EK Ballers passing through. Bo McBig Times coming through. So, hey, man, I don't know what you're doing for the draft. Right. Yeah, if you're, I don't know. I mean, and they, you know, everyone comes and goes, and that's the list right now. We're still accumulating guests.
Throw me in.
If you want to pop in, you want to stay for a round or two or three, or you want to stick around the whole time, you're more than welcome. We love it. It's so much fun, man. We do the picks live on the as they're happening. Justin turned. We all have to try to sync our feeds, our broadcasts the same, so no one cheats. But we do our best. But yeah, man, it's a great time. And yeah, you're more than welcome to pop in. We'd love to have the space.
Now, you doing this first round or second round? Like, how are you guys doing?
First round, just the first round. I have done, I've gone a couple of days doing the draft with and having folks on. But we the first round's the best. It's Thursday, and we kick it off. It's great. Yeah, man, it's probably one of my funnest nights of the year, honestly, of my life. You know,
I'd say it's a top five event in the calendar for me in the NFL draft. The wife was like trying to plan a our friends get together and have all the kids play together for that weekend. Oh. I said, no, we got to reschedule. And we did. We had it last weekend instead.
Yes. But yeah, it's a great, I break the show up into four parts. We release it, you know, every few days I put part one, part two, part three, part four, because we're coming on and the reactions. The goal is to get like a super flex first round, you know, like a 12, like at least 12 guys, you know. And it'll be interesting this year.
Yeah, and you know, I'll say this. I think I've heard some people criticize rookie or NFL draft content because everyone's watching it, so they don't need to be told what's coming next. I actually think what is underappreciated is the raw emotion that comes from these picks and what it does to these values, because that initial your initial assessment, that initial bias that you get early on, that dopamine rush, that stays with you. And if you're a smart, intelligent dynasty player, you can take advantage of that. People were upset that Gibbs landed in Detroit. They were worried because there was Montgomery. That was right.
Well, everyone was shocked that Detroit even took him that early.
They said it was a bad move. They said it was a bad analytical move. An analytics squad wouldn't do that. They were like snubbing that move.
That was nonsense.
Whereas, you know, heaven forbid an analytical person likes a pass catching running back. Yeah, that doesn't sound like an analytical person to me at all.
They brought him along slow and they unleashed him when they needed to.
So yeah. I just think I really like, honestly, is to just go and watch, especially content creators, watch content creators' reactions first off, because what you're going to see is how that information is spread throughout other content and you can take advantage of that. So that's why, not only having a freaking blast on the hot sauce and some great people, there's actually some actionable things that you can take advantage of on the slide too.
Well, what's beautiful about the NFL draft and having John Lobb and Matt Donnelly on, they are both experts on every single player in the draft, every position, like every guy there, every guy they have something to say about. So
they knew what they were in eighth grade.
Exactly. They knew what they had for lunch in middle school. So it is nuts, man. So I'm ready for another hot take. What you got?
All right. Age curves are for suckers. Age curves. Everyone talks about running back age curves, wide receiver age curves. That is for suckers. It's actually, analytically speaking, it's a bad process. That's bias. I'm sure you've heard, people have seen survivorship bias played around on the everyone's heard about recency bias, all kinds of different types of biases, but survivorship bias. A great example of that, and everyone probably seen this on Twitter, it's the B-22 bomber or whatever, of like all the shots that they come back and they have all these bullet holes from the flak, right? And people would think, well, we need to reinforce where all those bullet holes are. But, you know, Columbia University, the statisticians, they're like, no, you actually need to reinforce where you didn't see the bullet holes, because what's actually happening is the survivors that you're seeing. So what you're seeing is like, there's not many age 29 running backs that are dynasty wide receiver, top 12 dynasty wide receiver or running backs, so that are top 12 dynasty seasons or what have you. But what's actually happening is the reason why that's so low is because, one, you just don't see that many good players last that long. But when they do, the good superstar level players survive that one because based on pure talent. And that's the same thing with survivorship bias, is what you think when you see like these running backs, there's not that many of them. And that's why you shouldn't invest in these older players, because there's not many of them. That's actually not the I'd agree if you shouldn't invest with them if their values stay the same. If people still value Tyreek Hill like a three first or whatever, or like Kelsey, like he's worth three first at a tight end premium. Yeah, if they're still valuing those players like that, yeah, sure. Get her out of the risk, get out of that age cliff. But the key is that the value is not that. The risk is incredibly less when you only have to pay a late first for Travis Kelce right now. Because that's probably what you can get him for, is a late first. People have thought he's on the decline. You know, he's out partying with Taylor Swift, all this baloney. And when in reality is, bet on talent, even if they're old. Yeah, you're gonna take a couple of hits, but if you easiest way to turn around a team is to invest in some of these older players, the Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hills, and Derrick Henry's for cheap. And people are all afraid about the age cliff, where in fact you could really just turn a roster around just like that, because people are afraid of this age curve that everyone's saying, oh, not many players do well at this age. It's because there just aren't that many great players. The great players last that long. That's how it works.
So me and Justin talked about this last night. We recorded a show last night. We'll be dropping that before the Spaceman show drops with. But anyway, we talked about this exact thing, Kelce or which rookie. And we I think we made it to like the 110 before you want to give up Kelce. Kelce, before you give up the pick, like you're not giving up the top eight. And then it gets like Thomas, Worthy, Franklin. That's where you're at. And you're like, okay, Kelce or Brian Thomas. I'm taking Kelce in a PPR.
See, the problem is you didn't have to see that's, I agree. That's, I agree with the total of the logic, but the thing is you could got Kelce when he was not performing well last year. People were trying to get out for any type of production because he just wasn't returning what you had. And people who were like, they weren't competing like they thought because they'd relied on Kelce for years. I'm willing to take that second round pick. I saw Kelce go for second round picks last year when he was not playing well. And that's what I'm talking about is, or when Stephon Diggs is crashing and you're like, well, my team's actually isn't doing very well. Like, so, but I can't buy an older player. You know, I need to invest in youth. I need to invest in picks. Actually, no, Stephon Diggs not playing well. That's great for me because I can acquire a talent like Diggs for cheap. And then next year when the season starts new and I can get a player like Stephon Diggs. And if he hits, what that can do can turn my team around a lot quicker than some of these rookies that you could have gotten Diggs for. So I just think people don't understand the value that age can give because it comes at a discount. I understand the fear of age cliff, you know, the age cliff, the deterioration, the injuries, the injury concerns for older players, but that is baked in. Everyone else has those fears as well, and that puts their cost down.
Are you giving up? You're not giving up a first. You're giving up I know Kelce was like a top five overall dynasty guy.
Yeah, I'm happily like, so the time is not to do it now because Diggs got traded or whatever. The time to do it, you have to be understand that the age curves and how it affects dynasty value, and you have to take it before because Diggs has a location. Now, I'm not saying that people were expecting Diggs to get a change in scenery or what have you, but or like King Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry was end of last year going for second round picks everywhere. I think Derrick Henry's a top five dynasty running or a top five running back this year. I think that's in his range of outcomes.
You don't think LJax is gonna jack some goal line touches?
So the real concern for Lamar Jackson is that he doesn't target the running backs. He'd rather take off than target the rookie or target the running back.
And that's gonna take away Henry's targets.
Yeah, and that's not the concern with Henry. And Lamar Jackson doesn't rush a ton in the red zone a Fields or like some of these other rushing running backs. He's more of a not that he doesn't, you know, have a couple of red zone carries and what have you, but he's more of a big chunk rushing type quarterback, I would say. Yeah. And I would say that Henry is still going to be used heavily inside the red zone. He's going to be heavily featured. And what it costs to get him is the thing. It was a second round pick last year and you're being forward thinking. And it's, of course, it's easy to me coming out and say like, hey, you should have done this last year. But I mean, I was telling people before he signed anywhere, I was like, I'm valuing him as a top five running back right now. And I also think people always say like, hey, you shouldn't, you know, it's a 3-year window, right? That's the popular term you hear. Here's another hot take. First off, people don't practice what they preach. They're always overvaluing age, especially running backs. It's year to year, the situation changes, health changes. So I think you should only be looking at running backs year to year. And then I care more about talent. I care about more workload. And if you look at Henry's top speed last year, he was still topping over 21 miles per hour, I believe, in his top speed for GPS. Yeah. He had a couple. And so the thing with Henry So when I treat running backs as a year-to-year process, except for a couple, like I will give Gibbs, I will treat him a little differently than just a year asset. I will treat Breece a little bit different. But outside of that, it's year-to-year, baby, for running backs. And I think you can take a big-time advantage, especially proven producers. I'm not talking about freaking Alexander Mattison. I'm talking about the Alexander Mattisons of the world who just fall into volume. I'm talking about the studs, Derrick Henrys.
What are you talking about? What about an Austin Eckler?
I think he's like going as a mid, like RB28 right now in some ADP, right?
Wow. RB28. Let's see.
I think on Underdog, he's going, I don't even know, but I just had this, my old Tale of Two Rivals co-host, Todd Foster, we just talked about last week about how now he's in Washington now. Now, I think I think it really matters what Washington takes for a quarterback. If they get Daniels, I think that matters a lot, that, you know, you're going to miss out on some of those. Herbert was more than happy to check down Austin Eckler. I think that was a lot of his value.
It's Eckler as in like the Charbonnet, Jalen Warren, Tajay Spears.
Mid second round value, right?
He's 131st overall.
Sign me up. Like, oh, he doesn't hit. Oh, well. Oh, well.
Yeah. I mean, he's the RB. He's the RB 30.
Look at a lot of your dynasty champions and you go across your league. People have played a little while. Go look at the dynasty champions. Look at some of those players that were scoring points in championship week. They're not the studs that you think they are. Like there are diamonds in the rough. There are the older players that matter. I just think people are way too concerned about how other people perceive their trades.
But Eckler's not going to be the bell cow, right? No, he's going to be sharing time with Brian Robinson.
So that's the issue. So that I think that's, if we were going back to when Eckler's, we're just talking about Eckler's journey as a player. Early on, the biggest complaint was he didn't get enough volume. He was super efficient though. Had scored a lot of touchdowns and was super efficient because he caught the ball. What's the problem with him catching the ball and seeing less volume and scoring some touchdowns? I think the injury affected a lot of his top speed. That, you know, that clip of him getting caught from behind that everyone's seen now. I think that has more to do with injury than it does with Eckler, who works incredibly hard and is definitely taking, he's not out there partying like a lot of other, you know, like a lot of players you're concerned about. I think he's going to put the work in. And yeah, if he hits the age wall, oh no, I lost Zach Charbonnet. Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid. My team can't recover from missing on Austin Eckler at that value.
I was offered a 16 team league, but somebody wanted like my 25 second and the 311, which is garbage, but Austin Eckler, it's basically Austin Eckler for my 25 second,
which in a 16 team league. That could be the 30th overall pick.
It's most likely probably like the 25th pick.
Not once Eckler carries you to the championship and you make some savvy moves, and
take me to the championship. I mean, I don't know. My response, I declined it, and my response was, I'm looking to use that second to kind of move up, like maybe get a package it to move up with my. Move my first up a couple spots because I currently have the 111. So you think I was thinking about packaging that second to move, maybe throw the second. I have 2 seconds in this draft. I have 3 seconds between that this year and next year, 3 seconds total. I was going to maybe package the seconds to get that 111 down a little bit more. But you think I should blow a second on Austin Eckler?
I mean, obviously, this is roster dependent.
16 league. We talked about 16
team league. So I I view second. I'm a lot more willing to trade my second round picks. I only care generally care about my first round picks. I know people get lots of great values in the second round. It can really turn a dynasty squad around when you do land, but you're talking about 25% hit rate a lot of these times. And then when you're talking about a 14 or 16 team league, that hit rate declines the further you get along in the round. All that being said is I had someone offer me to pivot a little bit off that question. Someone offered me, I have the 105 in a league. Someone has a 106. They offered me a mid second in a 12 team league just to move up one spot. No, I'd rather have the 105. I'd rather have the 105 than that second. The likelihood that second actually matters and helps me score fantasy points is very low. Austin Eckler's likelihood of scoring fantasy points and mattering in my lineup is a lot higher. Now, the ceiling of that second round pick is probably higher than Eckler's ceiling. I will give you that. But I think, 16. And people want to swing for ceiling all the time. Sure. But I think that's, you're going to remember your ceiling hits, but you're also are not going to remember. How many second round picks have we made it? You said you've been playing for 10 years, at least 10 years, probably.
Sure.
How many second round picks do you remember that you missed on?
God, I mean, obviously a ton,
but you don't remember them. That's the thing. You remember your first round picks you miss.
I don't know. I can't associate. I don't know. In all my, I mean, come on, we're in a ton of leagues. When are you gonna be like, man, that was a great second round pick. I don't remember. I need to see it to be like, that was a good pick.
I remember.
I've been in at least 50. I may have been in 100 rookie drafts already in my life.
But I remember the veterans that I picked up for cheap that actually scored me fantasy points. I always remember those veterans.
This guy that's been offering me Eckler in the 16 team league also has Joe Mixon.
And people are down. I mean, Mixon actually kind of been a trendy conversation. Dude,
Mixon's a trendy guy now. CJ Stroud's the QB1 in Superflex now. The 101 overall, pretty much at this point. Let's anoint him already. Let's do it. He's the 101 in the history of fantasy football. No one has had a higher ranking than CJ Stroud.
He's actually the 100. That's how good he is.
Yes. Beautiful. Well, the 100. Yeah. So I don't know. Mixon's on that team now. They have Diggs. They have some weapons. And now they have a running back. Obviously, I mean, you want Mixon over Eckler, but what are you willing to spend on him?
So I think this is a little different because of Dynasty Best Ball League. But I acquired the Kamaras, the Diggses, the Mixons for cheap for teams that need to rebuild. So I was getting a discount for teams trying to rebuild. Yeah. And the Mixons are like that. This team is now a powerhouse. It is a powerhouse and it's a very old team, but it's a powerhouse. I have not made a single move. I think I average 15 points more per game in this best ball league than any of the closest competitor. And veterans, you know, who actually I think, you know, you this isn't this might be a little surprise, but rookie fever, Shane Swags, he is notorious about going against consensus and taking advantage of some veteran, you know, he's on rookie fever. It's really easy to go against dynasties all about. I think Dynasty cares more about I think Dynasty is finicker about their rankings than redraft players are. It's just, that's what a poor.
It's a slushy Guinness.
Ooh, that refreshing.
Hour and a half.
But anyway, I guess I was rambling there a little bit while you left because, you know, I felt a little fluttery without you in the room. But
oh my goodness, sorry. I thought I could sneak away while you were talking about Swags, because who when you're talking about Swags, you can't stop. I'm the same way.
No, he's incredibly sharp player, and he always goes. He is very good at going against consensus, and consensus right now is down on Eckler. I'm not even saying actually. I think he actually does not like Eckler overall. I think he's had some. But I'm not even saying, but just the philosophy in itself. I think going against the grain, Dynasty community, very, I love the community, very charitable, a lot of sharp people, a lot of great managers who are very sharp, make great trades. That it's being fun said, that
we even know them the way we do, right?
Yeah. That being said, an echo chamber to the nth degree. And it is very easy to take the echo chamber. Like everyone's seen that Eckler getting caught from behind GIF.
Ooh, that's frost. That's like ice. Like it's like two fingers of ice.
It's like a icy head almost. Like, cause that normally would be head, right?
It's delicious. But yes, Swags calls Tank Dell Tank Sell.
Yeah. And that's what he does. He goes against the grain. And that's what and I just think that's some of the biggest things. That don't be afraid to, when people are telling you it's a terrible trade. I got told it was a terrible trade trading AJ Brown and Tua when they were smashing last year. I won that trade hands down now because I got I'm gonna get Neighbors and several other pieces that were just. I think I picked up Jaden Reed for cheap in that deal. Ooh. And like I got two first round picks, one turned into 103, Jaden Reed and another pick. And so it was this no brainer move now, but you don't be afraid to go against the grain. And so that's my big thing is that long story short is I think age is not treated appropriately. I think there are concerns you should have with age. And I think that, and back when age and age curves were huge, it was when like the older players, and not, it might even be before Dez Bryant, but you had these older wide receivers like Roddy Whites of the world. They're being valued as if they were still 23 years old. Like it was back that long and people were really afraid about, and they were being valued on DLF and all these other sites and in trades as if they were still 23 when they were actually 28, 29. That when that's the case and the value's the same and you can trade out, get a first round pick, get it younger and a future first on top of that player. Sure. No brainer, but nobody's making that moves anymore. The dynasty landscape has changed. You cannot be stuck in the past. Age is being viewed differently. Age is more valued.
Love it. I love the progressiveness.
You need to flip it.
Vision. Yes.
You need to flip it.
And I'm an ageist and you're talking.
I am too. I am an ageist. I'm an ageist, but I have turned it because the value has gone so high. I can't take advantage of age like I used to.
And so I'm in a Devy depleted league where I have the 107 and like 3 second round picks where I could get some alleged, like 3 alleged studs. There's 12. So in the rookie draft, you could draft 12. Devy guys, and then the rookie. So like your Dunze's and your JJ McCarthy's are in this year's draft, and Jaden Daniels, like A. Rich was in the draft. Joe Burrow was in the draft back then. So there's some guys that blah 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 that you don't pick in the Devy. You only get 12 per season. So do you think I should send some second round Devy picks for some of these veterans? I mean, these Devy picks are clearly hit or miss. I mean, in this particular league, I had the third pick. This is three or four years ago. I had the third overall rookie pick or Devy. I had the third overall draft pick. And the first two picks went Spencer Rattler and what was it? DJU or what was his name?
Yeah, it was Ukulele or whatever.
Yes. And I took Bijan with the third pick. Oh, no. I took Bijan first, and then the next two QBs went. So it was just like DJU and Spencer Rattler. So whatever. But the point is, you roll the dice on these rookie guys, and who the heck knows these Devy guys, and who the heck knows what happens, you know? Are there any, like, I mean, I'm in the kitchen sink league with the Ryan McDaniel leagues, and I spent $1 on Jaden McDaniels and Jaden Daniels and $1 on JJ McCarthy like 2 years ago. And I got Marvin Harrison 3 years ago for probably like $500 less than he'd go net today. But you and there are plenty of misses. I have Spencer Rattler on that team, and who the heck knows? I mean,
this I think is a little different because your question is: should you be trading in some of these Devy depleted picks or even Devy picks right. for these proven veterans? But I think, especially in leagues that are really tuned in to dynasty content or really consuming content all the time, you know, they are. You're seeing them when someone on Dynasty Nerds is saying trade for this player, and you're seeing getting a lot of trades coming to your inbox for that player. You know, those yeah. type of leagues that are really tuned into what people are telling you to do, or analyst leagues. Analyst leagues, those leagues, or like a lot of when there's like a, you know, it's 50-50 or listener leagues where there's a lot of people in the industry or what have you. I think those teams people are a lot more concerned about, not say a lot, more than the average league are concerned about how their team looks on paper than how their team actually scores fantasy points. And I think those are the best leagues to actually win in. I'm in a league where I think 75% are maybe even 90% are analysts. And I cleaned house because of I threw age out the window. I went and I just loaded up, and it really wasn't a contest. Scored more than 15 points per game than the next closest person.
And you're getting like three. You take these veterans, you're getting like 3 years. You know, it's not. You don't have like, oh, I'm going to have this guy for 20 years. And who's on your team for 3 years anyway? You know, with the amount of movement that goes on in any kind of dynasty league.
Look at the DLF rankings 3 years ago, and tell me who actually is still there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. So, right. I think that's the attacking age differently now is an incredibly beneficial thing to do. And just kind of piggy off that, I think dynasty managers suck at risk management. And I think buying the dip because of age, because of league discipline, contract disputes or injuries like Breece Hall, people were telling you like some of the Scott Connor. I think Scott Connor is one of the sharpest players in dynasty. I think he's and I've been in leagues where he's wiped the floor, kicked my ass in. Incredibly sharp
player. Yeah, he's okay.
I'm just saying, he kicked my ass in. Like he had like five first round picks.
The league that I'm talking about, he's the commissioner.
Yeah. So okay. I think he's an incredibly sharp player.
I consider him a good friend.
Yeah, I think he's a great fantasy player. But like a lot of people said, because of what happened was you had J.K. Dobbins get hurt. You had that whole rash of first round running backs get hurt right away, and they weren't coming back. They weren't bouncing back. And so they're saying once Breece Hall got injured, they're saying take any first you can for Breece Hall. And I was saying, stop. Breece Hall is a stud. He has the speed, the size, the tackle breaking ability, the pass catching chops. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a chance he'll never be the same coming back from an injury. But when I'm willing to bet on that kind of talent off of that kind of injury, sign me up. Sign me up. And Breece Hall is would you say is the consensus 101 for running or RB1?
For me, in terms of just like generic ADP for running backs, it's Bijan and Breece.
Breece or Bijan still 101?
Bijan and then Breece. Yeah.
But anyway, so what I'm trying
to say, Kirk Cousins to elevate his game.
But you were having, first off, I like Bijan. Don't get me wrong. I think he's still a stud. Buy sure. the dip for great time to buy the dip was Bijan when people are telling you to get like, anyway. But that being said, I'm just going to say, you could get Breece's production, what he did for people, the explosive weeks he had last year for you, you could have gotten him for a late first in that injury.
Yep, you're right.
By the dip, especially early on, when there's not as much, because people don't know how bad the injury is. They don't know how long he's going to be out for, especially late in the season. People are panicking. They're trying to find win now pieces, and they'll take discounts to try to get those fantasy points now.
Yeah.
I've built up some value in my roster other ways. I have no problem taking the loss on Breece Hall. And that's just I think risk management, I think every player is risky. I think every player has risk. No one would, who was expecting the wide receiver for the Chiefs to go and drive crazy like right. in Kansas City and get
that's the
you
worst.
Never know what's going to happen, what injury is going to happen, what player discipline is going to happen. Every player is risky. Every player is a knee injury away from giving you 0 points for the season. So we don't know as much as we think we know. So I'll bet on talent. I'll bet on those stud players when they're that, when the consensus is going the opposite way. Give me the Breece Halls. Give me the Achanes when people were worried about his size when he was scoring. Like to be honest, I caught myself fading Achan in a couple places.
You can't mess with size though. I mean, he's like, I could check him into the wall and he'd hurt himself, you know.
I just saw a picture of him today. Ooh.
He's got some thighs.
People are just saying that, you know, it's his second season of putting on mass since, because he's no longer sprinting. It's his second full off season. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's his first, because, you know, he's prepping for the combine. So he's actually, this is his first NFL season where he can really add on mass with a, and look, I'm not,
he can't fuck with his body. When he's preparing for a season, when you're preparing for a combine, because when you're preparing for a combine, all you're doing is preparing for the agility that they have.
And so I guess my point being is I found myself being concerned about his size and all these things. And when I'm thinking that way, when I'm hearing on a bunch, when I'm hearing the same thing on multiple podcasts, I need to sit here and I got to go, is that actually is that just a narrative? Is that just the echo chamber?
Could be.
And I had to check myself because I was going to give, I was willing to give away Achan in some places for a little discount just to make the deal. So
you have him in a lot of places, huh?
Yeah. He was my RB3 last year. And when I tell you, I was a size snob when it came to size, I wouldn't even touch people over a running back who didn't get 210 pounds. People say 205 pounds was the threshold. I was like, I don't give you anyone under 210. But they were pass catching.
A size snob meaning you, if he was small, you were not interested.
Yeah. But the problem was, is everyone started thinking that way. And then you have to pivot. You have to, like, part of it, 50, you know, poker players, it's not about your hands. Sometimes you're just playing your opponents. And I know that's the cliche and all these things, but.
You're talking about poker, but why can't we talk about cockfighting?
Say, you know, I'm all ears. Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, you're talking about you prefer the smaller size, and if we're talking about cockfighting, you prefer a smaller cock, is what you're trying to tell me? Yeah, or do you prefer
it's about how you use it, right? It's all about how that. It's about the size of the heart in the cock, not about
I don't know. I'm just we want to talk about size, and if this was a cockfighting podcast, it's not. But if it was, then we would. What would be your preference?
I like a little girthy. I like a girthy cock in cockfighting. Not, you know, maybe people don't misunderstand.
but, I don't know.
But look at Devonta Smith. The BMI snub.
Oh, yes.
BMI snub.
Speaking of lack of girth, Devonta Smith.
BMI, and now he had a top 12 wide receiver season 2 years ago. Didn't have a great of a year last year, but still, like, just got a huge $90 million deal with a huge guaranteed thing. Garrett Wilson, undersized. People were still valuing the bigger wide receivers, and you have to be willing to come off it. I loved the Dez Bryant, but the thing is when people are valuing it and you're getting another player for a little bit cheaper, people were, when they Tank Dell, he was a huge value because of his size.
It's unbelievable. Tank Dell. But these are guys that can't last. We have one that's a very small sample size, but the Tank Dell, boom, devastating injury because he's tiny.
I'm okay getting off
the other tiny guy, a Chan. Okay, come in. He was like, hey, I'm back. No, you're not. See you later. Go back to the, getting back under that blue tent, baby.
I'm okay with, see, the thing is, I'm in rookie drafts taking the swing, but then all of a sudden their value shot up. Tank Dell was a top 12 dynasty wide receiver at points, right? When rankings in midseason, he was a top 12 dynasty wide receiver.
He was a TPR monster. He was he was the man.
So that
now there's, so like, now there's a Diggs.
So you spend a third round pick and because people are undervaluing his size and his age too. As the ages, people didn't like their 4 year, their older prospects. Yeah. They all wanted everyone to be 3 year prospects with 21, like a 21 year old. But you, if they're going to give you a discount on it, sure. I don't value second round picks.
What rookie pick are you giving up for Tank Dell right now?
I'm not buying Tank Dell right now.
But if you were like, oh, I'm in the mood for some Tank Dell, what kind of rookie pick would you give up for him? I'm feeling like he's a 110 or 190.
Yeah, but I don't play Dynasty that way. Like, once he's already had that huge jump, I'm not going to buy it. Like, I'm not buying it.
But he's not high right now.
Yeah, well, he has taken a little bit of a dip now.
Season-ending injury.
But people like Tank Dell still has a little sparkle in people's eyes. People know about those 20-point, about the 18-point games.
Addition of Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs. He's been in and out of the lineup. Tank Dell, Nico Collins is still around. They added Diggs, who's the A1A of the team now, because he's like, give me the ball. He's gonna be a give me the ball guy, and Mixon's gonna be like, give me the ball.
They still have the tight. They re-signed the tight end. Yeah, there's a lot of mouths
to this big deal. Yeah,
a lot of mouths to feed. But I, there's no reason to think that they're not going to be willing to throw the ball 40 times a game.
They're going to do that for Stroud. Yeah, they
second year. They were talking about first year Stroud was having that many pass attempts. You're telling me they're going to limit his pass attempts in year two with that offense, like a decent offensive line. Like, no, they're going to throw the ball. I'm just notorious of trying to get ahead of these value spikes. And that's how I play. I'm not going to chase value on I'm not going to try to what the falling sword or the falling knife, whatever that metaphor is. I'm not going to try to catch the falling volume or the, like, I'm not going to chase the volume. If I missed out on, you know, I who did I miss? Like, trying to think of some players recently.
Kyron Williams.
I don't even know who Tyron Williams is. No, I'm just
Kyron Williams is a...
Kyron Williams. I think he said Tyrone. Okay, Kyron Williams. I did draft him in a couple spots in startups last year because...
What a steal.
Cheap because he was... If you look at the depth chart, you're like, yeah, I don't believe in Kyron
Williams. You're like, hey, who knows? This guy got some
run. And I mean, we're talking about like a lot of the players that went around Kyron Williams in startups last year, they're not even on NFL rosters right now.
I'm trying to trade Kyron Williams because I do not believe in his size. I don't believe in the 5'9", 194. He's a running back under 200 pounds. He looks amazing when he's running the ball. God, he's like a Jamal Charles type of guy. But I don't know. It's
tough to find that sustain over a long period of time. I'll give you that. Like, but my thing is one. You profit on Kyron when he's cheap, and then you trade him. Like, yeah, people, because what people had him as a top, like people, I keep saying people, these straw man arguments, but I have saw in many dynasty rankings as a top five dynasty running back, Kyron Williams at times.
Guess what? I mean, speaking of the Scott Connerly guy I just talked about, the run and gun, Debbie depleted league, I recently traded for Kyron Williams. I traded Waddle for Williams.
Side note. For the contractors out there, I just started selling contracting supplies. One part of erosion control is it's straw wall. It's this big long tube.
Erosion control, nice.
not erection control. Erosion control.
Oh well, hey, you said erection,
but yeah,
and you're wearing a robe.
It is getting a little unbuttoned here, as
the night goes on. Got a rope around the waist.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I'd have to cover something up, but like I said, girthy. Hey. No, but anyway, like I said, as we get derailed,
you're a motion.
Straw waddles. I have to look up straw waddles on the computer 3-4 times a day, and I have no experience in this, so it's all the last 3 months is everything I've been learning on the fly.
Waddle.
I still spell straw waddle like Jalen Waddle or.
It's spelled with one D.
It's with two T's, straw waddles. And so I'm spelling it with two D, and I'm like, I can't find this in the effing computer, and I look like an idiot in front, like people.
Jalen Waddle.
I'm looking up one, like, I'll make the joke to these contractors. You'd be surprised. You think contractors are big football guys? You'd be surprised. Many people don't know who every single person. I made this joke like 8 or 9 times to different customers that no one's known who Waddle is. Nobody.
Well, I mean, who the hell know? Who's going to give a shit about Jalen Waddle if you're not a fantasy football guy in the Northeast? You're in the Northeast. You're way north of me.
That's true. But I'm just,
he's a wide receiver two. He's not even a wide receiver one.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my little spiel about the guy in Miami. Waddle
is that wide receiver one, wide receiver two in Miami.
It's messed up my job performance because I can't freaking spell a straw Waddle.
Jesus. Well, why would anyone know who the hell Jalen Waddle is in my in where are you at, in Maine or New England?
In Rhode Island. I'm in Providence, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. I was
close. But I am from Maine, though. I am from Maine. But yeah, Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes. Yeah. But who the hell knows who Jalen Waddle is up there? Nobody.
I mean, you'd think, see, these would be football fans, but they're just, but anyway.
We got another take. Give me another take.
Yo, all right. So beware of spreadsheet warriors. As a spreadsheet warrior myself, I think people who really just grind the spreadsheets, I think they're more concerned about, I think filtering columns in a spreadsheet isn't analytics or a model. Creating arbitrary thresholds that are not predictive in any shape or manner, or they're double counting or something. I'm just saying, beware of the spreadsheet model who's throwing random bar graphs at you or random things at you. So that's my biggest, beware of spreadsheet warriors, because I think too often that these metrics people are, and this is kind of combining a couple of different hot takes into one, but too often your favorite metric is just a descriptive thing. It's not it's not predictive like you think it is. Okay. Most metrics are descriptive, not predictive. And not to get too nerdy here, but I just think there's too much double counting and people coming up with these arbitrary thresholds that don't matter, because when you do have these weird thresholds, you miss on Kyren Williams, you miss on the Devonta Smiths, you miss on Jahmyr Gibbs, you miss on these players. Too often, like, I think analytics or like even spreadsheets or even these spreadsheet warriors, they're great for telling you who not to draft and like how to avoid big mistakes. But sometimes fantasy players, because you know, hit rates are so low in general on draft picks, the real picks that make or break your teams that add significant value are the outliers, are the Tank Dells, are the Kyren Williams, are the Jahmyr Gibbs, are the Achains who you got in the early second round of draft picks. So, and spreadsheet wearers who are slaves to their spreadsheets, who don't care, who can't think outside the box. Analytics, too often people think that analytics is about evaluating players and what have you. Too often, I actually think analytics is more beneficial, especially your fantasy, is about a way to think and how to think and how to evaluate your play versus evaluating talent and things like that. So beware of the spreadsheet warriors. Not that they don't have their pluses, they don't have the great data. There's so many sharp people out there. I'm just saying people who are too focused on their spreadsheets, they're too focused on the trees and not the big picture, not the forest and those outliers.
Yes.
So anyway, yeah. I know you missed a lot of that, but anyways, I was just shitting on all of my fellow spreadsheet brethren.
If anyone has a model, you fucking suck. You don't know what you're talking about, is what you're saying. Anyone has a model is bullshit. And when they brag about their model, when they brag about their model, fuck them, right? When they're in their model, fuck them and their model, right?
Their model isn't as good as they think it is. Their model isn't as good as they think it is. But the people who actually, I do respect, know that. They know that it's not as, they're not overconfident in what they're doing. They're more concerned about how they're thinking. It's what, like J.J. Zacharyson says it all the time. It's an input in his process, but he is not drafting off of his model. It's just gives him information. It's painting at players. It's giving him, describing how a player produces, not describing how good the player necessarily is.
Right. And we all should never be taking ourselves seriously anyway in the first place, just because this is nonsense. Yeah. And it's all like rubbish when you think about it. Like, who knew Trey McBride is going to be the tight end two all of a sudden? You're taking Trey McBride over Mark Andrews. Are you not?
I love Trey McBride, man.
Mark Andrews is everybody. Everyone's shitting on Mark Andrews now.
Well, they're idiots too. I mean, the thing is just don't overcorrect things. You know, this goes me, like, I could just keep on going here, but we don't know as much as we think we know. So if you're too confident in your decisions, and I mean, I guess it is good to lean in, and you want to, like, sometimes it is important to act like you're going to be right, because sometimes you'll overanalysis, you know, paralysis by overanalysis or whatever have you. Yeah. But I guess the point I'm trying to say is essentially that you don't know as much as you think you know. So have some humility in your picks and be willing to, just the metrics you think you love, they're not as good as you think they are. And yeah, they're just the metrics you think you, people should be. All right. I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to rapid fire here because we have been going. It's an hour and a half here. I got to get up in like at 5 a.m. here. So
you're already wearing your robe. So it's that's not like you have
that's
no,
true.
No, I, you know, I get worried about your pajamas or anything.
So, but I still got
you clearly sleep in the nude. If you're what you're wearing, is there nothing on under there? Yeah, I don't want to know. I'm just curious.
I got some slippers on.
No. Yeah, I'll tell you this. You know what? And this is not a sponsorship. Maybe I should connect with them. Maybe they'll give me a discount. But I invested in some underwear. I kept seeing these ads for this fancy underwear, and I spent $30 on one pair of underwear.
Unbelievable.
The greatest underwear I've ever had in my life. And I told my wife, I want three pair for fucking Father's Day. I was like, you get out of the shower, blah, blah, blah. You go to the drawer, your underwear drawer. When I pull out this pair, like, I'm just like, it's on purpose. Like, I'm like, oh, this is what I'm into today. I'm wearing these. Like,
it's like it's the Calvin pumped. Hobbs, your lucky rocket ship underwear. That's what it is.
God, yes. Yeah, spend some money on some underwear and get rid of your old underwear.
I agree.
If you're someone that has underwear for 10 years, you know how disgusting that is?
Or you have holes in them or whatever.
You should just throw out all your underwear every year. Once a year, you should be like, it's underwear day. Throw it all out, invest in some new stuff. Because what does that see all day long? Come on.
All right, Costanza. What was that? Costanza said just never wash underwear, just buy new underwear. Is that George Costanza?
My brother's father-in-law wears disposable underwear. She just throws them out when he's done. When he's done wearing them. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't either. I've heard of edible underwear, but not this disposable underwear.
Disposable. You just throw it out when you're done. You throw it out when you're done. I'm getting out of my clothes. I'm done with my underwear. But makes sense. Yeah, why do you want to wear stuff that's all in your stuff, like all day long? All day long, through thick and thin, all kinds of temperatures.
It also depends on the material. Like if you're wearing like a nice wicking underwear, is different than wearing like just some cotton that rubs and, you know, cheap.
I'm reaching out to this company for at least a discount because this underwear is pricey. Like they, you can buy like six pair for like $200. I'm like, am I spending $200 on underwear? Like, you know, but I'm like,
you say you have 100% success rate of getting laid when you wear this underwear. Like that's like, that's the tag.
If that were the case, but I mean, it's just the comfort. And I'm as soon as I slip them on, it doesn't matter. Like I'm a boxer brief guy, man. I can't, you know, I'm not going to reveal. You know what? If you join the patron, you can, I'll tell you what the brand of this underwear.
And that's what they call a big market tease right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big market tease.
Yep.
So I have a couple of like some serious things too, like that, like one, a couple more just before get out of here. All right. So actually, so this is something that I wish that would take off. And I don't think I've heard this anywhere before. Horizontal rankings are so much more functional and should be consumed. And I know all rankings is a vertical, like, you know, a vertical. It's like just 1, 2, 3. That's rankings everywhere. Right, every website. But a horizontal with tiers and horizontal rankings, I think is so much more visually. It displays your tiers so much better. And you also can see the ranks within your tiers. And you can use some color coding as well. Horizontal rankings should be used across the board. I mean, we've got huge phones now, so it's not like you're on these little rinky-dink things where you have to worry about people only can see one line at a time. You can turn it sideways. It looks great on a desktop as well. But horizontal rankings, I think, is so much more functional because it helps with trading. It helps with so much more. I just think that I wish that I saw websites use horizontal rankings versus just your typical.
That's a great, you know what? I'm a huge fan, and I would go on Yahoo. Like, this is back in the day when Yahoo had this feature or writer or whatever they, maybe they still do, where they do the green, yellow, red rankings. That's what, when, as soon as you started talking, I was like, that's the first thing that came to my mind was the color. When you say color coding, I was like, yes, I want the highlighted guys. I want my green guys, yellow guys, and red
targets
guys
within the tier. Yeah. You know, you can have your target within the tier or people who are kind of like falling or rising. You know, you could do a lot. I just think it's more functional for the average consumer.
Yeah. This was a start sit situation weekly feature that this thing had, but yeah, it was just in terms of just general rankings. Everything should be in tiers because there's no such thing as a 1, 2, 3. You know, you have your tiers. You have these guys on any given day, and then these guys, and then these guys. Way to go.
So, all right. And the last two, real quick, rapid fire. Combine is overrated. I know people suck at that all the time, but the combine is overrated because I think it matters more for small school players, for people coming back from injuries. But I think it's more of a networking event. It's more about interviews and character evaluation than actual what they test about, especially for the bigger Power 5 schools. All right. These schools have chips in their shoulders now. All these teams have access to the information. We're 5 years behind that. We're the dynasty community, like fantasy community, does not understand that is not in all of these sharp forward-thinking franchises now. So
are there forward-thinking franchises?
I mean, let's not, you know, that's a whole other podcast, but, but I just think, and for example, one of my biggest mistakes I ever made is I drafted Andy, this in my league of record, my home at Tale of Two Rivals Listener League. I drafted Tale of Two Rivals, my old podcast that I had with Tale of Two Rivals.
Yes. Still exists?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's been going on for 10 years now. I know I drafted Andy Isabella over DK Metcalf.
Well, yeah, you were one of those guys. Guess what? I drafted DK. I took DK Metcalf in a number of drafts because of guys like you.
Yeah. But the thing is I love his, you know, he had that huge, I was like, once he had that 40 time, I was like, oh, it's for sure. He's fast. It's not just, he wasn't playing against inferior competition. And what I did is I double counted his speed. He won with speed. I should have known that. And I moved him up my rankings once he did that 40 time.
I was already baked into everyone else's rankings is what you're saying.
And the combine, you know, obviously you have certain thresholds where if a guy like, there was that Georgia running back, I forget his name now, but he ran like a 4.82 and he was, I think, a top five running back for most people. Then he ran a 4.82 and I was like, okay, then they wrote him off. This was like 5 years ago or so. But I wish I could remember his name right now.
Isaiah Spiller.
No, not Isaiah, but it's similar, but it was, I think, with an H, it's gone. But anyway, I understand there's certain thresholds you have to meet, but what it's even particularly for now, particularly for wide receivers, I don't care about your 40 time whatsoever. Malik Nabers had a great 40 time. Guess what? I already knew Malik Nabers was fast.
Those guys shouldn't even compete in the combine. And they're already baked into like a top 10, even top five. Why are you even, I mean, unless you're just going to have some fun and whatever, I'm just going to show off my stuff. Like, I'm sure they're not taking, you're not training for the combine if you're Malik Nabers, are you?
I hope not. I hope if you have a good agent, you're not. He's telling you it doesn't matter. You're already a top something pick. But now, that being said, I mean, what really gets me is I've seen content creators, respected ones. Well, let's not go too crazy, but I've seen content creators on my timeline, knocking Harrison down for not running at the combine, knocking him, saying that's why Nabers is now their wide receiver one. And I'm not even disagreeing. I'm not even going to say that's like an awful take, saying that Nabers is your wide receiver one. My problem is dinging Harrison for not running your combine. I don't care what you, DeAndre Hopkins, one of the most productive wide receivers ever for fantasy. He ran a very mediocre 40 time. And people say, well, what about size adjusted? It is already baked in your production metrics. Their speed is already baked in. And yeah, you might get a couple of R squared for the real nerds out there. R squared is like a weird metric that shows how predictive your model is or whatever. Whatever you want to say, it gets you a couple more points. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anything in the combine, for especially for wide receivers.
It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
It hurts you more than it helps you. You might get an occasional win from a metric at the combine, but it's going to hurt you. You're going to draft more Andy Isabellas. You're going to draft Rondale Moores. You're going to draft.
Oh no! Did you really just go Rondale Moore right now?
I'm just full on just masochism right now, just shitting on my Rondale
Moore. Elijah Moore, huh? Fuck him, right? Ugh. Also, right?
But you know what I'm trying to say is that people still care about the combine, and I'd much rather care about the prototype of player you are, your production, especially at wide receiver. But then I care running. Yeah, I just
everything's game speed. Right, everything's all about the game.
Over it now,
fucking some guy run around on the turf.
Mm-hmm. And I know this is very popular take, but numbers people and your spreadsheet warriors care about it more. And now, like when I say it doesn't matter, I got a little carried away. It's overrated. It's more hurtful, but it's just does more harm than does good.
Okay.
So there we go. I think, because I shit on a lot of my numbers people. People spend way too much time.
That's from the spaceman. He's saying, fuck you, numbers, fucker.
Exactly. No, yeah, all about it. Screw you guys.
I'm with you, man. Fuck them and their number. No, then their statistics. Fuck them.
Fantasy content creators, actually, or any type of fantasy player, spends too much time on player evaluation, and the return on investment on player evaluation and your hit rates you're going to get in the first round, the second round, the third round, your hit rates and the amount of time you spend on all these rookies. Now, what, mind you, if it's fun and you like doing it, sure, do it. I like it as well. It's a lot of fun to get invested in these rookies, talk about them, debate, a lot of fun. That being said, the ROI and the value you can give to your fantasy team, much better about self-scouting yourself and your decisions that you're making and other managers in your roster are, or other in your league are. So I just say that spend more time on self-scouting and evaluating the decisions you're making versus other players and other rookies coming in. I think that's where the true edge is in Dynasty now, because there's so much more information out there. You can 8 years ago, there was only a couple Dynasty podcasts out there. Now we could name 30 off the top of our head probably right now.
That's the beauty of life. I mean, Jesus, when I started fantasy football in Dynasty, I got my first Dynasty league in 2014. That's why I was so passionate about that whole 10-year thing earlier. But I didn't get into like podcasts until it was like when the HQ podcast started, like Dynasty Trades HQ, when that started.
They were on the cutting edge. They were one of the first.
I was one of their first listeners. Like I didn't even know it. I randomly came across their podcast coincidentally when they first came out. Like I joined them at like episode like 3 and I didn't know. And then I just pivoted to them, to Dynasty Warzone. I had Dynasty Happy Hour. There wasn't really much after, like, outside of those that came in my direction, you know?
But you were thirsty for that content.
Like, oh, no man, I devoured it.
But the thing is, it gave you a huge edge. And I'm not saying that content now isn't giving you an edge. But all I'm saying is that there is so much more readily information. I used to spend all kinds of time getting all these advanced metrics in there. I have spreadsheets and spreadsheets. I'm not doing it currently right now because I just don't have enough time. But that information that I was gathering, it's now everywhere. Everyone has target share.
And you know what? And that's okay. That's okay, man. That's okay. It's okay that you don't have to fucking break your ass over doing stuff when you can clearly get a hold of it in another fashion. I prefer the over the course of the last X amount of years that I've been involved in this, I guess we'll call it the fantasy community and the Dynasty community is, everything is, it's almost like a gigantic high school with your different like
cliques,
posses. And I love that the hot sauce pod. I love where we are and on the grand scheme of things. Like we are
one of the most entertaining.
I feel like we are like the underground cool kids. Yes or no?
Yeah. I 100% agree. I mean, I haven't been consuming a ton of content the last, I didn't listen to like many pod. I don't think I listened to a single dynasty or a single fantasy podcast this last season. And I had some of my most successful years playing fantasy was this year.
I had a great year this year as well. And I don't know if I can't remember if I have the same excuse as you as far as not listening to a lot of stuff, but I'm with you. A lot of my dynasty teams were focused on this season. Like remember the 2023 hype. So I cultivated a handful of rebuilds focusing on, and this year was my goal. And people are shitting on the 2023 class, but there are some guys, there's some players, plenty of guys actually.
Yeah. Especially early in that, the top players in that draft, but I guess my point is that if you spend more time evaluating your decision, what mistakes you made and self-scouting so you don't make future mistakes or maybe you're just like, hey, I was making this based on a metric that actually is more descriptive than is predictive or like some narrative. Like I was caught up in the narrative. I was caught up in my emotions when if I had taken a recency bias or what have you. You just done some self-scouting. Leo Pasiga, he does, you know, he has the whole keep a notebook on people. I'm not even saying go that far, but if you just pay a little bit more attention on just instead of scouting players all the time and doing those things, and if you really care about winning and scoring fantasy points, evaluate yourself, evaluate your managers in your league, and it's going to have a lot more ROI than just scouting players.
The good old ROI, baby.
And I'm saying ROI in a loose sense, not just like pure dollars and cents.
No, I love it. I finally got some ROI going on this year. You get some ROI. One year you have some ROI that'll take care of the rest of like the next 10 years. That's all it is, right?
Yeah. I play Dynasty for keeping contact with people. I love to win, but I want my buy-ins paid for. That's kind of my ultimate goal is I want my buy-ins paid
for. You want to play for free?
Yeah.
I get it. That's fair. So what do you got going on, man? Let's talk about it before we close out the show. This was fantastic, by the way.
I had a great time. I hope I didn't bore too many people tonight, but
I'll cut all that shit out. I'll cut all the boring.
So it's a 10-minute podcast. Excellent. You just want to hear about the girth question and
that's going to be there.
Yeah, that's going to be there.
It's going to be mainly the how you like small fat cocks. I think.
Yeah, and then when my shirt had just totally come off. That's basically the entire show.
You were naked in your robe. Preferencing a small fat cock. I dig it, man. The spaceman.
So speaking about fantasy cares. No,
fantasy cares. Hey now.
Honestly, so I recently stepped away from DL Dynasty League Football. I wrote there for several years. And I had a Patreon for you can find spreadsheets for a long time. And I recently on a hiatus from there. Focusing on what I have a 2-year-old focusing on that and focusing on my new job. But honestly, it had come a little bit too much work. Like I felt like more of a work than it was just the passion. I was spending 45, 50 hours doing spreadsheets and I loved every minute of it.
Not as much as your wife did.
No, because we had opposite schedules. We worked opposite schedules. So it was beautiful.
What are you doing? You could be improving our fucking yard and our house and you're making spreadsheets for fucking nobody? Bunch of nerds?
So, I mean, honestly, so that's kind of, but then honestly, it was affecting me. Like I felt like I had to get stuff ready for the combine, get my rookie stuff up, all my data in. And it was affecting me outside of fantasy time because I was like, I held myself to a standard. And so I was like, you know what? That's not what matters. So I took a step back, happy as can be. And I'm enjoying, and now I'm actually spending more time playing fantasy. So that's kind of what I've been focusing on, thinking about like I said, evaluating myself, evaluating my leagues and winning leagues instead of just caring about what my roster looks like on paper, what have you. So that being said, took a step back from content, I have been doing some guest appearances like tonight, but what I've actually have cared about and will always care about is Fantasy Cares. So get ready for the FC eliminate the Fantasy Cares eliminators. Get ready for getting involved in the Abbey Makers and the Scott Fishbowl Podathon and the Scott Fishbowl itself, because what really matters is the charity, the bringing people together, because that's some of the happiest people are going to be in the Dynasty community is around Scott Fishbowl time, because it's just, it's a great cause. It's a great time. And I'm already looking for, knock on wood, I'm back in the Boston Live Draft again this year, but that's kind of what my biggest message is. Try to get a buy-in in your league devoted towards a charity, and Fantasy Cares is going to have a great give. They're going to have a ton of giveaways, jersey giveaways, entries in the Scott Fishbowl. They're going to have a ton of prizes, a ton of great smart people on. There's going to be more of a podcasting going forward and YouTube content going forward. But yeah, Scott Fishbowl is movie theme this year, and just get ready for a phenomenal Scott Fishbowl season. And Fantasy Cares, hope everyone, if they can contribute however you can, more than retweeting, making a donation, going to a live event, buying a raffle ticket, whatever you can to support it or incorporating it in your league, let's do it.
Listen, if you want to get in the fishbowl, you can do it. You got to just reach out to me or the spaceman, and we'll make it happen. I think we'll point you in a direction for sure.
And hopefully, Larry, you guys have been kicked off the Podathon more than I can remember, but you're always back the next year.
Hell yeah.
My favorite segment.
Fuck yeah, baby. And we've been in Podathon. We're season veterans at this point.
Some prime time in years past.
Oh, we've prime had time. Every single time slot, and we're proud of every single time slot that we've had. We've been a part of every single part of the Podathon in terms of, 2 a.m, 5 a.m, 8 a.m, 9 p.m,
and the 11 same p.m. energy, no matter what.
Fuck yeah. We're ready to go all the time. And the Podathon's really special for us. We love it. And we love all this stuff, man. This is what we're into. Me and Justin, we've been around the block. We know the deal. We love taking care of business. And the Podathon is right up our alley. And speaking of leagues that have a charity component, the Dynasty Hot Sauce Listener League, 3 copies, 14 team. Let me just restate that. 14 team, 3 copy. That's how you should pronounce something like that. 14 team, 3 copy. Significant tight end premium. Superflex, obviously. I think we need like one or two more heads. And there, you want to talk about content creators. We have a bevy of content creators in this league because it's already 3 copies. So that's 14 times 3. I don't know what the math is. Spaceman, you might want to get in this 51. League, man. EK Bowler is getting in. He's taking over one of the orphans.
I am not joining any. You could convince me. I shouldn't have turned
you
down
the last. You have already committed to. You committed to this league like 3 years ago. And then this is one of your appearances. And then we were like, hey, man, you ready to get in this league? And you're like,
oh, no, it wasn't like that. I hemmed and hawed and said nothing.
It was exactly like that. I think you said fuck off, too.
And I think my son was like being born like this, like within the draft, like around draft time.
I feel like there was a middle finger involved in the response from you.
No. Larry, no, honestly, I actually care passionately about the Hot Sauce podcast. I think you guys are awesome.
I know. You're a great friend and you're a great supporter of the pod. So yeah, man, we love you. We love the fucking spaceman. Oh man.
I'm disappointed I didn't get to hang out with Justin tonight, but it was a good time, man.
I think Justin's skin is, I don't know if you want to smell his fingers right about now. I feel like maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Hopefully, we'll see if he went with small cock in the cockfight or the large.
We'll see what kind of cock he's fighting with tonight. Maybe next time we get together, I'll ask him. I'll on your behalf, I will ask him and say the spaceman was interested in your cock. Thanks for listening.
Larry Monkey,
Justin Rogers, talking Dynasty Football, baby.